New Orleans is a city that often seems to be in kind of a time warp. At the edge of the French Quarter, down on the corner of Rampart and Dumaine, is a laundromat called the Clothespin. 60 years ago at this spot, rock and roll took its first baby steps there, in a little room in the back. Down on Rampart and Dumaine. As Gianluca Tramontana discovered, it is a piece of music history that remains almost completely hidden.
Hey, excuse me, I don't need to be bothering you now. Do you know about this place?
Not really.
I just wondered if you knew the history of this room.
No, I don't.
Do you know the history of this laundromat?
No, not at all.
So you're just here for the laundry?
Yeah, I'm just here for the laundry. I know, it's got a big old jukebox, and only in New Orleans.
But jukeboxes have always played a role on this corner. In the 40s and 50s, just about every jukebox in the U.S. was playing singles recorded right here. In 1945, John Mancuso and John Matassa opened a record and appliance store called J&M Music Shop. In the small room at the back, Matassa's son Cosimo had the idea of squeezing in a grand piano and three microphones, where he started recording Dixieland jazz and novelty songs. For the first few years, there wasn't even a mixing desk, just a duopress disc cutter that cut the session straight onto an acetate master. Then in 1947, a gospel singer named Roy Brown walked through the door, past the refrigerators and waffle irons, and entered the back room.
Well, I heard the news, there's good rockin' tonight.
The song was called Good Rockin' Tonight.
Well, I'm gonna hold my baby tight as I can. Tonight she'll know I'm a mighty, mighty man.
It was the first record that really had a gospel shouting sound to it, which is Roy Brown, you know, shouting the blues.
That's music historian Rick Coleman.
At the same time, the song was a partying record that was about sex.
Tight as I can, tonight she'll know I'm a mighty, mighty man.
The third thing was that it's the song that popularized the word rock. And so it was, you know, it was no big surprise when, you know, 3 or 4 years later, Alan Freed and Bill Haley started using the word rock. Fats Domino came along a year and a half later and did The Fat Man. That had the driving beat, which really helped define rock and roll. So it was kind of this 1-2 punch out of New Orleans.
The song completely ignored sophisticated arrangements and polish. It was an instant smash, and the first of many Fats Domino hits to come out of J&M. Cosimo Matassa remembers.
They'd give Fats a new song, and he'd sort of noodle at the piano and noodle with it and noodle with it, and somewhere along the way, it was almost like a transformation. He suddenly got it, so to speak, and he'd make it his own. And from there on, it was Fats' version of whatever that was, and you could feel it.
Word of J&M spread, and before long, a Georgia piano pounder named Little Richard swung by to record Tutti Frutti. In an attempt to keep up with Richard's fast, jabbing right hand, drummer Earl Palmer emphasized the offbeat, a rhythm rarely heard outside gospel music. And suddenly, the backbeat was born. Palmer's backbeat changed drumming as much as going electric revolutionized guitar playing, and the rhythm-heavy music that came from J&M became known as the Cosimo sound.
People give me too much credit, because what I was doing was being real careful to capture what local guys were doing. I mean, I didn't invent it, and I'm no musician, so I didn't play it. They played it, and my job was to put it down onto the recording.
But Cosimo was important to all musicians in our area and had already built the institution where we all had to go through. It was our university.
Songwriter-producer Alan Toussaint remembers the first time he set foot in the tiny room.
That's when I met Little Richard. The first thing I heard on Richard was Slipping and Sliding.
Slipping and sliding, peeping and hiding, we don't boo no more.
Richard came flying through there, and the door opened, and Richard came in. the place got brighter. Seemed like the lights got brighter. Everything just happened. He found magic here, and he knew where the magic was, and he'd come here and get it.
Shortly afterwards, J&M moved out of the little room and grew into a major corporation with its own pressing plant, record labels, and distribution network. But Cosimo was no accountant, and by 1974, J&M turned its microphones off for good.
I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling sad.
What I needed was a mean son of a bitch in the corner and a green eye shade, and I had all these bills to pay, and the money that was owed to me for the records wasn't coming in. In words of one syllable, I lost my ass.
Do you have any sort of regrets or bitterness or anything?
Oh, no, no. In fact, if somebody wanted to know what I'd want on my tombstone, it'd be no regrets. I had an awful lot of fun doing what other people would call their job.
Meanwhile, back at the corner of Rampart and Dumaine, the sounds coming from the little back room are very different today. The turning of the tape machines have been replaced by the turning of the dryers. As a jukebox plays in the corner, another pair of feet shuffles over a logo on the floor of the entrance. It says simply, J&M Music Shop.
Yeah, here. I knew they were recording Stu Enroll and Little Richard and Alan Toussaint and all them play, but I didn't know it was here.
For Studio 360, I'm Gianluca Tramontana.
There's a movement afoot to get Cosimo Matassa into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm Kurt Anderson. Up next, we have the singer Teresa Anderson. She built her sound in New Orleans, too, and even recorded her new album in her kitchen. That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI. Stay with us.
I'm singing.